He never changed the position on that head and arm. he's sitting there for 20 seconds in the same position, and then all of a sudden he taps. That's retarded. He didn't. There was no change of pressure. There was no change of nothing. He just quit and wanted out of there.
Wow.
I hope he's not becoming a fucking Bob Sapp.
Yeah. That's what I was just about to say. At this point, is he just going in there to get the money? I mean, let's be honest. I love watching a guy fight. It sucks watching him lose. I tell you that.
Let's be honest. If he would have had the fucking fight he should have had today, he would have been treated like Alexander Milenko's girlfriend and gotten bitch slapped and thrown out the second story window.
Who is he supposed to fight?
He was supposed to fight Alexander, Fedor's brother.
Oh.
But Fedor's brother beat up his wife, girlfriend, threw her through a fucking window or something. And that's what he would have done to the Krokop, who I love dearly and support and have stood up for him. You know, but he needs to go back to kickboxing, and he needs to stay out of the MMA game.
Yeah.
And actually, what he needs to do is turn around and enjoy his, you know, golden years, focus on training the next generation, because even at kickboxing, dude, Boom Boom took him to a fucking decision.
Boom Boom won by a head kick KO tonight, I think.
How did Badahari look, man? I missed a Badahari fight. How did he look?
I thought he looked good. I thought he looked a little aggressive, like the older Badahari we're used to before all the trouble in the last couple of years. But he had some weaknesses. He looked a little lethargic with his footwork. I say he's on the road. Physically, he looked like he's on the road. And technically on the road back to being a top fighter, but he's not there yet. If he stepped in today against the top three, he wouldn't win. So
I agree.
I was a little heartbroken by the performances I saw from some of the fighters tonight on the Legends card. Not that it's, you know, bad for the organization. I just wanted to see more from those guys because we've seen them and known them. What I want to talk about Legend is, let me ask what all y'all fuckers think. 310-742-1799. Call in with your cojones. Don't be bitches and scared. If you want to tell me I'm stupid, then tell me I'm stupid. But what the fuck was John Jones, Mauricio Verdum, Alistair Overeem all doing sitting in the front row with Frank Mir?
Who cares? They're enjoying.
No. They were all sitting there wearing their UFC shit, looking all fucking like gangster, trying to fucking, you know, fucking in New World Order that shit, and fucking next thing you know, they're going to jump in the cage and beat some people up. You know, come on,
they went over and got some Japanese nani and freaking, you know, having fun.
Oh, yeah, you know they got.
They all went over there and got some.
Wasn't that in Singapore?
How do you know where that show was?
No, that
fight
was
it Legend
in
Singapore?
No. Legends was in Moscow.
Moscow?
Well, they're doing a Russian tour right now.
But don't forget, folks, Moscow is home of the famous Alistair Horsberger. So maybe they went there to get some burgers. You know, John Jones needs that shit after the pound for pound best fighter in the world got beat up by Gustafsson.
Hey, who's this guy that Gus is fighting next? Never heard of him. Who is this guy? Replace Nogueira. Little Nog. He replaced Little Nog. Who's
this guy? You remember Jimmy Manoa? He's a high level kickboxer, man.
Whoever they is, they say that guy's a monster.
Yeah, he's a high-level kickboxer, dude. He has some serious power. He doesn't really. His fights really rarely go to the ground. I don't know, man. Sometimes I think he lacks the killer instinct. The killer instinct that, you know, some guys have a real finishing instinct. And I mean, he's finished his fights, but it's like weird finishes. Like the last one was like, he leg kicked the guy, and then the dude rolled his ankle. You know. Well, I mean, did you see the Jimmo? He just fought Ryan Jimmo, and that's how he won. I thought for a second Jimbo blew his Achilles out. But later it was announced that he just, like, rolled his ankle. And the fight before that, I can't remember, it was something else silly. Like, the guy couldn't come out after the second round or something.
Yeah.
I'll think about it.
Gabriel Diabate, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
And then Kyle Kingsbury was a doctor stoppage, I think?
Yep.
Not sure. But I think that one was. And then outside of the UFC, he just fought a bunch of people I haven't really heard of, honestly. I mean, no, I mean, I'm not saying he's not tough. He is definitely a beast, but... I mean, before the UFC, he hasn't really, and even in the UFC, he's fought Kyle Kingsbury, Ciryl Diabate, and Ryan Jimmo. So, I mean, I think Gustafsson is going to handle this dude. Just my opinion.
So it'll be interesting to see if Gus's length and everything poses a problem, because this guy really likes to use his legs a lot. I mean, he's definitely a kicker, you know.
Hey, who was that was picking against Bobby Green last week?
James Crow.
I was picking Bobby Green in that fight. Who was that? I was arguing last week about that fight with Krause.
Chris.
It was probably me. Well, but I mean,
what a horrible fight that was, huh? That was a horrible fight.
You know what? That was actually, I felt like Big John McCarthy robbed the fans of a great fight, and what could have been a great fight. Because both those guys love to stand up. They don't really care to go to the ground. I mean, I know Bobby Green has great wrestling. He could have taken it to the ground. But, I mean, man, it just sucked, man. Three hard low blows. Even the third one hit the cup. I mean, it shows it real clearly. If you go to Fox Sports on Facebook, it shows it real clearly. You can even hear it. Yeah, it was a little high. But, I mean, after the first two, you know that. You know his balls are probably tender. So, I mean, it was rough, man. That's a shitty way to go out. Especially for him to get the TKO win, I think they should go back, look at it, and it should be a no contest. And a rematch should happen, but it's whatever. It's over with. It sucks because they're both my friends, so it's just kind of a shitty situation.
It just sucked. I expected that to be a hell of a fight, and it ended the way it did. It sucks. You know?
Yeah, I mean, not intentional at all. It was just the way they were moving.
Oh.
I mean, it was all unintentional, and it sucked the way it turned out, man. It's just fuck. I mean, I just wish that, honestly, in this call, I think Big John had an ego. He had an ego there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he could have looked up at the screen after and said, oh, yeah, that was a low blow, but he wanted to argue it till the end. He even basically, from what I was told, is that he basically talked the commission into making it, you know, the TKO win. So, I don't think it should have been a win for either guy on that. You know what I mean? That was just a shitty situation. And no contest is, I'm sure, what most referees would call that, especially after taking a point.
I bet it winds up a no contest.
Well, it just depends. Where were they? They were in Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, well, what does that mean? Do they still use, how does that work? I mean, see, Kaiser usually is the one that goes back and checks replays. He has nothing to do with Kentucky, as far as I know. Or is it just kind of wherever the UFC goes, he's kind of involved?
Who?
The commissioner, Keith Three. Kaiser. Because, yeah, like, when they go out of, like,
he ain't country, anything in Kentucky, bro.
Well, then
Keith
there's
Kaiser.
Nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen.
But what do you mean nothing's going to happen?
Nothing's going to happen.
Well, the Kentucky Commission will overturn the fight, dude. That's what happened.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, that's what always happens. Just
man.
Like last weekend, the Rob Can fight, the Washington Commission will overturn it. Keith Kaiser is not going to overturn that shit.
Yeah, just so you guys know, I learned something last week as that protest. A protest has to be filed on a protocol that a referee is supposed to make. You cannot question a judgment call. So again, this is a judgment call on what's his face's McCarthy's. You know what I mean? So when like last week with Rob Can, the referee did not check his arm and lift his arm up like he was supposed to. So that's what you're protesting. You have to protest the protocol of the referee. you cannot protest the call of the referee because they're going to say it's a judgment call and they can't change that. So I just learned that last week when we were talking about it in the back room.
Huh, that's interesting. I would also protest the fact that the referee was in there going, I fucked up.
It doesn't matter. We talked about all that. He knew it. He said it. It doesn't matter. He can completely admit on national television. But unless he made a protocol mistake, which is he did not check the arm, which he did not lift the arm and make sure that's what you're supposed to do, lift the arm, make sure, you know, WWF style. If you do not check the arm, that's a protocol, you know, bad decision, and then the fight can be overturned. But if you just stop a fight, they can't overturn that.
And it's crazy to me that more referees don't do that, don't check the arm, because I've seen it where fighters have been out for quite a while, you know what I'm saying? I mean, for quite a while in a guillotine. And I mean, I just like to see more referees checking the arm. I mean,
you're supposed to. That's part of our training. I mean, as far as part of the thing, that's what you want to do is you tell them, give me a thumbs up, and then you check the arm, you know? Thumbs up, but he did give him a thumbs up last week, and so. And another thing, as a referee, you're not supposed to ever say right there, I screwed up, I made a mistake. You go to your grave with that, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. You gotta fucking. You can't be telling anybody that.
No.
And I thought it was funny that Jens is like on the stream going, oh, man, he should just restart the fight. There's nothing really changed. Just restart the fight. And I'm like, you know better than that.
You know what's crazy about that, though? Honestly, he may not have – the referee probably saved him, and he's going to end up with a no contest because I think that fight was about over. It really – anaconda choke he had, standing anaconda, was tight. It was sunk. So it might end up saving him.
That'll be interesting. I mean, we'll have to rematch.
No, the kid from Brian Johnson's gym's not fighting anymore. He's done. That was it.
Oh, you're talking about? Okay,
fucking horrible.
He don't want to fight anymore. He's 40 years old. He wants to focus on his grappling. And
I'm just saying, for him to like, go, that's a horrible way for him to like want to like for him to unfortunately have to end his career, you know, on some bullshit like that.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, it's much better to go out with a clear either win or loss than it is to go out, you know, under this cloud of uncertainty.
Joe Warren fight just ended for me, man. He looked great tonight. Joe Warren did.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Really good. Really good.
He came out in the second round really strong. Like, when he threw that first flying knee in the second round, I was like, whoa. I was like, holy shit, that was Joe Warren doing.
So when are we going to talk about Hendo fight tomorrow? Come on,
the Hendo fight.
So I take you're taking Hendo then?
I root for Hendo no matter what. I don't care who he fights.
I say Hendo has fought tougher competition, and actually I believe both fights in 2012 were his. I know he's been on the shelf for a year waiting for John Jones' punk ass, but I say Dan Henderson gets him, grinds him out, and catches Vitor late in the third, knocks him out.
Breaks him mentally, you think? Breaks Vitor?
I think he's going to stay all over him and hurt him and ground and pound him and just keep fucking beating on him. He's going to get frustrated, and Vitor's going to want to brawl late in the fight to try to win it, and he's going to leave a fucking hand laying too low, and Henderson's going to hit him with the fucking Bisping combo.
Well, I'm definitely not against that happening, but my concern is, like, how will Hendo handle Vitor's athleticism and speed?
And speed.
Yeah.
Easy clinch. He's just got to get up, clinch with him, and take him down to where that speed and that athleticism don't mean shit.
I don't know, dude. I'll never forget Vitor Belfort blitzing Vanderlei Silva and, like, putting him away in 2 seconds.
As he sprinted across the cage. That was the best ever.
Hey, was that 154 UFC or 155?
That was like UFC 13, dude.
So who gives a shit? That ain't the same Dan Henderson, and that ain't the same Vitor from back then. He ain't going
to
pull that shit.
It's pretty close to the same Dan. It's pretty close to the same Dan.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He's stayed pretty true to the game plan his whole career. And it's worked really fucking well.
Yeah, 50 right hands and two left.
Yep.
Yeah, and I mean, you could arguably say that Dan Henderson actually won his last two fights, really, because I mean, they're pretty damn close. Both fights. I mean,
Which one will have more TRT in them?
By both guys?
Vitor? Come on. We all know it's going to be
Vitor. If I'm Hendo, I'm getting jacked, dude.
Right? Oh, shit. And, of course, it's in Brazil. So they're going to be off the fucking charts.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, this dude, like, Dan Henderson will probably be coming out doing, like, James Krause cartwheel kicks and shit.
Look.
It's not crack. It's not crack. It's TRT, dude.
I think the biggest thing Vitor's got to worry about, or Henderson's got to worry about Vitor is his kicks. I think that's his biggest issue. And if he can get inside, grab him up, be dirty, take him down. I think Henderson can get him off his game plan, get him frustrated, try to brawl, and let Henderson knock him out. I mean, this is roid rage Vitor. He's not fighting smart.
We'll see what happens. I think Dan Henderson takes it.
Is there any other round? I don't even know any of the other fights on the card other than Sam Cecilia's on the card. Other than that, I don't even know anything on the card.
Top prospect, Brandon Thatch, is fighting Paulo Thiago. Brandon Thatch is going to do, he's going to destroy anybody in front of him, dude.
Thiago, I know Thiago's name. I don't even know anybody else on the card.
What the fuck is up with Sam getting, like, every Brazilian to ever fight in the UFC?
Right.
It's because the style-wise, they give them guys that'll stand with Sam, you know?
I guess that's the only country that wants to fight him.
Yeah. And he's not going to Brazil and fight.
Dude, we're going to get a shirt that says Sam Cecilia invading Brazil one fool at a time. Okay, so...
Isn't he fighting Gordo Frodo Pepe?
Yep.
Yeah. He can put that guy away.
Sam can put anybody away. It's just, does he run out of gas before, you know, he does it? That's kind of what seems like has happened to him in the past.
What do you guys think about Cruikshank?
Oh, he's fighting Martins Andranio or something like that.
Don't know any of.
No matter who he's fighting, he's going to win. I think the Americans are going to come off on top in most of the fights. Honestly, I really do. I think Justin Salas, that dude is a beast from Colorado. I think he's going to run over Thiago Tavares. Jeremy Stevens, he's gonna whoop his opponent. Well, maybe not. He's been looking rough lately. That might have to go to the Brazilians.
Stevens fighting a white guy?
No, he's fighting Ronnie.
Oh, Jason. Ronnie Jason.
No, Horny Jason.
Horny Jason.
That's how Vanderlei says his name. He goes, oh, yes, the horny Jason. Oh, the horny Jason.
You know what? I mean, let's be honest. I don't think this card is all that great except for, like, two fights on here.
See, Cavalcante and Procrea could be a good fight. I think there's actually some really good fights. I mean, Jeremy Stevens has some power. He just doesn't have a gas tank. Cecilia and Gordo Prepe, that's a good fight. Thiago Perpetua and this other clown. Oh, dude, no. And my guy, Cesar Mutange, is going to get beat up by Daniel Sarafian because Sarafian's a beast. And Mutange trains with Vitor. It's going to be a bad night for Team Vitor. At least I hope.
Hey, you know, it's a good night for Morgan Littlechild. Big shout out for the victory tonight, brother.
Yeah, first round TKO, right?
Yeah, up there, five-star fight league, dude.
Bobby Lashley got a big win tonight.
Yep. Hey, what do you guys think about that? Who should DJ fight if he had the opportunity, King Mo or Bobby Lashley?
King Mo.
King Mo.
Does anybody think that's funny that he get a bigger paycheck than King Mo?
Dude, Bobby Lashley, come on, dude. I really don't. He has nothing. He just typical decision. I just don't like Bobby Lashley. Sorry.
Does it remind you too much of your own style?
Fuck. A little bit. I don't get paid however much he gets paid to fight, though. That dude gets paid, man. That's one thing about that dude. He gets paid. That's for sure. Just because of the whole wrestling bullshit, you know? And I just know if you've ever been in a certain gym in Kansas City, that if his picture is on any of the posters in there, his face is covered up. Like, no one likes that dude in Kansas City. I don't know why it is. Just, he's hated.
Are you guys, like, jealous?
You what?
Are you guys, like, jealous of him or something?
Jealous? What do you mean? I don't even live in Kansas City. Shit. Jealous? I don't know about jealous. I just dislike his style. It's just not exciting.
Hey, we're gonna add another caller. We got Kane live with us, man. He wanted to call in and join in the conversation about fights tonight. He's definitely like the rest of us, watch Bellator. Kane, welcome to the Rogue Show. There's a bunch of fucking misfits tonight. So you're gonna just have to jump in and say what you gotta say. You know, don't worry about hurting anybody's fucking feelings here.
I'm not worried about that. I was just saying because I'm sitting there and I'm watching the fight and fucking Chuck Congo cannot finish anyone. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with that dude. I think he should fucking really, like, retire or something because, well, actually, not retire. I mean, you know, I'm being too much of an asshole. Maybe change up and get a, you know, like, maybe change up and get a new fucking, like, you know, a new camp, a new striking coach, because he couldn't finish Peter Graham if we all got in there and helped him try to finish him. Like, I'm sitting here watching, I was like, oh my God. And I was like, dude, he's fucking winded, though. Get him already. Whoop the guy's ass.
Now just go ahead.
It went to a decision. It was terrible. I was just like, what the fuck is this? I'm disappointed in Peter Graham because if he would have had cardio, he would have beat this dude's ass.
So
he looked a little scared. Like he looked real timid. Like he just didn't want to. He couldn't get off. He couldn't deal with the reach of Congo. Honestly, he just couldn't deal with it all night.
True, but you know, I watched Peter Graham fight before. You know, I watched him fight in K1, and he also fought in Kyokushin Karate, and the reach shouldn't be anything because fucking Chuck Congo was slow as shit. His jab wasn't even snapping the jab back. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on, man? He just got out there and just fucking, he was just winded. After the first round, he was just winded. I was like, oh, there goes that cardio. And then Chuck Congo just picked him apart.
I actually thought, but I think out of the two guys in the cage at that time, Chick had the best cardio. Yeah, I think that Peter was far more gassed than Chuck was.
Oh, most definitely. I'm just saying, like, after the first round, Peter Graham was fucking already, like, he was already done. I was just
what does this say about Bellator's heavyweight division if this is supposed to be the better end of the crop of fighters they have?
Listen, to me, Bellator itself seemed like it's just going to be that last flagship, you know, that last oomph for all those guys who get cut from the UFC, who, you know, who are too old, who are, you know, I really don't want to see that happening. But it seemed like it's getting like that because everybody's fucking, you know, you got Tito, you got Rampage. I'm not saying Rampage and Tito are really, you know, washed up.
Is it better to be, for everybody on this panel, everybody fucking listening, is it better to be the springboard to the UFC or the graveyard from the UFC?
You know what? I'm probably going to get shot down for this one, but I would, you know, for fighters, seriously, if they're going to, you know, especially young fighters, obviously the UFC is a lot, you know, is the way to go because there's no other organizations really, you know, there's none over there in Japan. They got one in Malaysia. It's coming up, but you know, I don't know how long that's going to last. And then you just have these other small ones around. So, you know, don't get me wrong. You know, Bellator do have, like, some good talent. But, you know, some of the guys over there, they seem like fucking beginners, and they have a lot of fucking wins under their belt. And it seemed like, you know, like, if you try to compare it to the, you know, UFC, obviously you're going to be like, the UFC has more, you know, better fighters and competition and all that other bullshit. But I'm just saying this, like, I think probably give it like a year or two. I think Bellator will rise up and be, you know, be a lot better show than what it is. Because as of right now,
not as long as fucking Viacom's got control. Somebody else has to make the decisions, and Viacom just has to write the paycheck and sit the fuck back. They got to stay out of it. They got to just say, look, Bjorn, run the fucking show. Here's the money. You know, because them getting involved, I don't know about anybody else here, but we know enough fighters and we've heard enough stories that, you know, Bellator is becoming less and less of the place to be.
Really?
That's
for them.
Lepaki, though, loves them. That's his favorite organization of all time.
It's not that they're not my favorite. It's just that for them to be successful, they need to worry less about the UFC and more about Bellator. And I've said this, and 18 months ago, Bellator was, like, definitely a promotion on the rise. And right now, I kind of think they're at, like, a critical danger zone, like, plateau point, where, you know, they can go one of two directions. And they just need to let the fight, you know, go back to being about the tournament and the fights, man. The 8-man tournament was the way to go. I mean, it was solid. It took 8 weeks to get the whole thing done. Like, they fought every 4 weeks. It was perfectly timed out, you know. And now they're doing 4-man tournaments and all kinds of goofy stuff. And they just need to get back to what Bellator was about, and that's prospects fighting guys that are a little bit more veteraned out. And, you know, either it's kind of like the Gatekeeperville to, you know, I mean, whatever. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody who's getting dropped off from the UFC is ending up over there. And it's the same, like, I don't know, it kind of reminds me of that old, like, the WWF and then, yeah, WCW. Like, everybody was watching WWF and then, you know, all the old motherfuckers like Hogan and them all went to WCW.
Yeah, it is.
You know, pretty soon you might be right. That shit might just fucking self-implode, man. That's why, you know what, after a while, like when Pride left, when Pride was gone, when Pride got bought out, I just started branching away from watching UFC fight, like mixed martial arts fights, because that shit just like Pride. The one thing I liked about Pride, it was in a ring, which was better. I hate the cage. I always hate the cage. All right, even training in the fucking cage, I always hated the fucking cage. Hate it. It's just something like, you know, it's, motherfuckers get you against the cage and just sit on you all day. Fuck that. You know.
You don't like to get a free dry hump every now and again?
Listen, I hate being dry humped. All right? Many times in class I've been fucking dry humped. Fucking, nah, man, it's terrible. It's fucking terrible. Right? I remember I watched one of my, like, I remember my friend was, he had a match, and he fought against this kid. This kid was talking all this shit. And the kid would take him down and dry hump him all day. I'm like, motherfucker, you said you wanted to fucking fight him standing up. Why are you fucking dry humping him? It's fucking stupid. That's why I stopped doing mixed martial arts and I stopped focusing more on kickboxing, because there's no humping on that. You gotta fight. And that's why I like watching K1 and Glory more, because you had to get two things, you know, in Super Combat too. You have to get in there and fight, or you're gonna get in there and get your ass whooped. Can't escape that. You know, I watch some of these UFC fights, and these motherfuckers, like, you would think that it's going to be really a real good fight, and motherfuckers would get motherfuckers and just take them down to the ground and dry hump them all day. And
Do you think MMA fighters and promoters would be better off if they signed one fight contracts and could go bounce around between whatever promotion they want?
You know what? It was like that with Pride. I don't understand why the UFC. I don't understand why the UFC did that. Like, you had to be, you know, you signed this contract, and you fucking, you know, you can't fight nowhere else. That shit was just. I was just like, that's fucking crazy. Why? Why is Dana White doing that? So someone like Alistair Overeem can only fight in the UFC and can't never fight in Glory because he has a contract with them and they're stuck. The thing with Pride was you can fight with them, you can fight with the UFC, you can fight anywhere you want. That's what I like. It shouldn't have been like, well, you signed with us, Skip, and you're not going to fight with nobody else. You just got to fight for the UFC. And as we all seen, it takes them like 20 years to get a match.
Yeah. So they have like 500 guys. They have 500 guys on contract, and 50 of them are fighting.
And that's actually about what they have, right? 495 is what they said the other night.
395. And, yeah, dude, I'll tell you what. I'm not a super zombie, but I swear to God, what was his name? I think it was Chris Rock. No, it was, what's the little Cat Williams when he's like, you're talking about pimps? Dana White's a pimp. He gets these masks just to do whatever he says, you know? I mean, like the comic says, he's like, I told the pimp to go, you know, blow this guy so he can save the world on Stone Mountain. And she's like, I'm doing my part. That's, dude, all these people think they're just doing their part. They're like, I'm part of the UFC, man, and just, the final. This is the greatest. This is, look, we see today that fucking, some of the top 10 fucking fighters have been cut recently. How can you tell me that they're the best? How many times are we hearing stories about people walking away saying, I got fucked. I was made to look like a fucking fool or a racist, or I was made to look scared for a fight that I already had taken and won. You know, they're the Walmart of our sport. Some people have to go in there to do their shopping. You know, it's just reality. But fuck, dude, not everybody's got to fucking think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think, personally, there's five other organizations throughout the world that A, can compete with Zuffa any day of the week, talent-wise, and B, are better product.
You know what? I'm going to say this, and you guys are probably going to be the first ones to hear this, but Dana White is going to be the new fucking Don King. He's going to fucking destroy mixed martial arts, and it's going to be terrible. Right? He's going to fucking destroy the mixed martial arts world because he is fucking ridiculous. He's such a fucking dick, yo. Like, how do you just be like, well, we're going to cut this person and we're going to cut this person off. Well, I would never buy the Bellator because this and that and blah, blah, blah. He's such a fucking, like, he's one of those dudes who actually need to be in the cage with one of the guys he fucking, like, he talks shit about. Like, every single person that he talks shit about, he needs to be in the cage with somebody that can whoop his fucking ass. Seriously. Because all he does is sit there and fucking talk shit. He's like, dude, shut the fuck up, man. You know, like, he's out there, like, fucking constantly every time we're, like, running his mouth. Like, oh, this and that, blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, I remember when he was talking about, oh, we're never going to have females fight in the UFC. He's like, dude, shut the fuck up. People want to see females fight. The fuck? Sometimes some of the fights are better than the fucking males.
Well, so.
Get this motherfucker. Oh, no. We don't want no fucking girls. We don't want no girls fighting here. And then all of a sudden, oh, look, we got girls fighting for us now.
Is it the pay?
You're not supposed to let the secret out.
Yeah, it's because he's getting a fucking paycheck, and that's the only reason why. That's the only reason he saw it was profitable.
I tell you, man, motherfuckers are crazy.
So, do you do kickboxing still?
Yeah, me? Yeah.
Do you have anything coming up?
Oh, me fighting?
Yeah.
Oh, me? Nah. I've been training like 2 months, man. I've been fucking working like nonstop, like 7 days a week.
Oh.
I need to get back and train so bad, man.
Where do you train at?
I train with TPS in Lynn, Mass, Team Brasserie. It's a Cambodian kickboxing.
Yeah,
we also do mixed martial arts too. Everybody likes, I don't know, like, most of the kids there, they like mixed martial arts and all the other shit. You know, when I come there and I train and I show them, like, you know, I show them stand-up and everything. So it's like, they're like, damn, yo, this is so great. But the best thing about it is that, you know, yeah, the kids are dedicated. You know, they learn stand-up and they learn boxing, you know, mixed martial arts, everything. But I plan to try to go to Cambodia and fucking train over there. I got a friend over there. Skip, I'll link you his page. He used to run TPS Philly before he went back to Cambodia. So now in Cambodia, they finally legalized martial arts.
We watch it all the time, man. They got it on Friday nights on the local TV there.
Yeah, it's the what's the name of that organization? The one I was talking about in Malaysia. Is it
1FC?
Yeah, 1FC, yeah. I think that organization is going to rise and be pretty good. Cause you know what? They allow some of the, like, some of the pride rules, and they also allow elbows too. So you can actually soccer kick people and knee people on the ground, which, you know, the UFC should have. Cause I get tired of seeing people just sit there and lay on the ground when guys are, like, you know, on top of them and they got to wait till they get up to actually fucking beat their ass. You know,
I agree. We talk about it all the time, dude. I think everyone here tonight, except for maybe Jeff, agree you should be able to fucking go full rules, man.
Jeff doesn't agree. Jeff, well, no, Jeff likes that. Jeff's pulling this all four even low blows. He thinks that kicks in the groin should be legal.
No, he said hand jobs would be legal, not kicks to the groin.
Oh.
No.
Hand jobs are legal, yeah.
But, Jeff, you don't want elbows to the or knees to the head, right, to a grounded opponent, right? Or is it
right.
Stock? Oh, that's right. Nancy, that's right. I forgot.
Why not?
I don't know why amateurs need the head.
Yeah.
What about pros?
Amateurs. Oh, pros,
you know
pros, they can do anything except for have good knives.
Maybe, like for amateurs, no knees to the head. Nah, no knees, no soccer kicks, no shit like that, no.
No, we're just fucking with Jeff. We're just fucking with him. But as pros, yeah, dude. I mean, I think it should be across the board, man. You know, hey. You know, go ahead, Chris.
Me personally, I like knees to the head as amateurs. But I think you should have over 5 fights. And you should be ready, you know, to take that step as a pro, do a knee. I know we do in Blackout. I know we do knees to the head. But that's just because that's the sanctioning body we use. They use knees to the head. So, I mean, yeah. I
of a downed opponent?
Go ahead.
Do you guys use knees to the head of a downed opponent?
No, hell no. No, hell no.
Oh.
He's like, fuck yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Dude,
I was like, hell yeah.
No, we do knees to the head, but I mean, obviously not to a down opponent, shit.
So I guess only the tall guys can do that then, huh?
Do what now?
Let's bring the head down.
Knees to the head.
There will be knees. There will be blood.
I'm going to need Thomas in the head next week.
I want to ask you guys a question about this fight. Give me an honest opinion about this, because I seen someone on Science Fight.
Did you ask the wrong for an honest fucking opinion?
All right, check this out. Gegard Mousasi called out Yoshida, all right, in a fight. They posted that up, and never in my life have I seen on... Like imbecilic, like fucking retarded motherfucking UFC zombies. Oh, I don't think Musashi's ready for Yoshida. He needs to, I was like, what the fuck? I was like, hold the fuck on. I said, yo, this is the same dude who won a tournament and Dream, all right?
Yeah.
Won another tournament.
For an open weight.
Yeah, he won that tournament with heavyweights, all right? Then he fought 2K1 leveled world-class fighters and beat them both. I said, you're telling me, all right, you're telling me Leo Machida is just going to, just like, it's too much for him? I said, get the fuck out of here. I said, this once again proves that you motherfuckers live in a box. When it comes to fucking fighting, because yo, seriously, everyone that I go on there and I look at the comments, and never in my life have I seen such like retarded, immature, like dick sucking, riding UFC bullshit. I'm just like, you motherfuckers are retarded. I'm like,
see,
you motherfuckers don't know anything about other fighters. At all.
You need to follow a whole different group than I follow, because everybody that I've seen was fucking excited for this fight. But I also follow nothing but hardcore fans. And I'm excited for this fight. And I'm sure you are.
This is like a dream. This is a dream matchup for me. I mean.
Yeah.
Dude,
I mean, look.
Ida and Musashi is like, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, they're both like probably top 5 strikers. Help
with
that.
Dude,
then matching up, dude, at 185 is fucking amazing in my world. I don't know.
I agree, but, you know, the thing I got to say is he stepped up against a much more powerful striker, Mark Hunt, you know, in, what was it, the Hulk Grand Prix in 2009.
Yeah.
You know, he stepped up to a much higher level of power in people's striking. And was able to be successful there. So I give the overall advantage to him in every aspect with his judo and his kickboxing. I think this is a stand-up war that he can fucking win from, you know, bell to bell.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, come on, like, no disrespect to Lashita, but all that, like, come on, you're not going to be able to fucking trick this guy with your little spin kicks and fucking dumb shit like that and, you know, ballerina fucking twirls and shit. Get out of here, dude.
But
Machida also, like, has very good, like, straight line attacks. Like, similar to how, you know, how he knocked out Ryan Bader with, like, a step through and a fucking straight right hand. And it was, like, a short straight. And it came, like, right off his shoulder, and he powered through and just blasted that guy out. I mean, while Machida can be really evasive in his striking and kind of look boring at times, there's also times when he, like, flips the switch and becomes aggressive, and he attacks in, like, those straight lines and from really random angles with his karate. And people just, they don't know what to do. But I think that Musashi is one of the few guys that might be able to handle that.
Dude, he definitely can. Think about how he's handled Melvin Manhoff and Gary Goodrich.
Not only Gary, like, not only those guys, he also beat fucking Jacare, too. And he beat Jacare with a fucking straight kick up when Jacare was going to come down and punch him in the face. He knocked him out cold. And I remember when I watched him fucking submit fucking Dennis Kang in a triangle, right?
Yep.
Same thing with Manhoff. Get him in a triangle, all right? So that also shows you on his back, he's very dangerous on his back. But it also tells me that, does he spend a lot of time on his back? And how does he get on his back to spend that much time there? That's true.
Because he's successful, obviously, with his run at ADC, you know, maybe even early 2000, somewhere around there. You know, so it's not like he's scared to be on the ground. If he feels like he can take the guy down there and beat him, why not? I think he's, honestly, I think on the ground he's got the advantage too. So, I mean.
Well, I think in the Jacare fight he was knocked down and Jacare was trying to follow up with a big right hand. And Musashi, like, caught him with, like, a defensive upkick. I think that fight, Jacare muscled him down. Like, he pushed.
Suka upkicked him from the ground to get him down.
What?
In the when Gegard Mousasi beat Souza was on his back and an up kick that hit Mousasi and put him down on his butt. And that's where the grappling match started.
I gotta watch that fight again. Yeah, because that time Mousasi ended that fight with an up kick knockout. Yeah, I remember the up kick knockout. I don't remember if he knocked him down or he muscled him down or whatever. I know that Jacare was very, very aggressive in that fight.
Just admit that I'm probably more intoxicated than anybody else on the show, so I'm calling a fucking mulligan if I'm wrong.
Oh, you're not.
Hey!
So Jeff's like, oh, like,
referee.
No, but these are two premier guys, dude. I mean, I understand that most of the zombies don't get it, but, you know, I'm done with those fucking idiots, man. Like, those fucking zombies, man, it's like, they all think Liz Carmouche is good. Have
like,
people ever really watched Liz Carmouche? Like, she is a good fighter, and I don't want this to sound the wrong way, but she's not, like, top three in the world at 135. She's probably not even top five in the world at 135.
Who is?
You know what I mean? Liz Carmouche is it. And it's like people are like, I don't understand why she had a bad performance against Alexis Davis. It's not that she had a bad performance. It's just that she has a ceiling that is below where somebody like Liz Carmouche is at. Or, I mean, where Alexis Davis is at. And she's just, I mean, it just blows my mind, like, who some of these people think are good and who they, like, base as being good fighters.
People are fucking stupid, man. You know,
I agree. No different than that whole fucking Johnny Bones Jones being pound for pound. That motherfucker, if he's pound for pound, that means the fucking Gustafsson has to be pound for pound too. Fucking
listen,
moron.
his last fight he lost. All right.
I agree.
Because in the last fight he lost. All right. The funny thing is, I liked him until, you know, everybody started dick riding on him. And then he became the first dude ever sponsored by the UFC. I was like, look at this shit. I was like, damn, you on your knees, huh? Blowing Dana good. Get the fuck out of here, dude. All right? If he's really that good, then he's really supposed to be that. He should be fighting everybody else. He should go to Bellator. He should be in Bellator doing the tournaments over there and try to fucking fight the people over there. I always say this. You can't sit here and say you're the best pound-for-pound fighter if you haven't fucking fought everybody else.
Hey, everybody, welcome MMA Beatdown to the show. He's with us. Everybody shout out to him. We got a bunch of fools on tonight. So you guys all know he's live with us now, too.
What's going on, man?
What's up, man? Appreciate it. They're all letting me be here tonight.
Anytime, buddy, anytime.
Hey, we're talking Machida, Gay Garden, Mousasi.
No, right now we're talking about John Jones and Dana White, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, John Jones being best pound for pound the best. That's funny. That's just hilarious.
Now, does anybody...
Seriously.
No comment.
Why not? You can't come on here and not have a comment.
No. I mean, I don't know about pound for pound myself either, though. I'll agree with that.
I think Jose Aldo is better pound for pound than John Jones.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I agree with that.
Cain Velasquez, I think he's better than John Jones.
Is what?
I think Cain Velasquez is maybe the most underrated of all the champions.
Yeah, he
so?
Got disrespected this week because Ronda Rousey was saying she could beat him.
Yeah, and what can he do about that?
You know what? Hold on. Now that you brought this chick up, what the fuck is wrong with this bitch? Seriously,
I don't know.
All right,
I don't know.
Like, bitch, you got such a fucking ego trip. You tell me you can beat a fucking man that's fucking, first up, has more weight than you, who's taller than you, and let's not forget, he's a fucking man, all right? Man strength, bitch. Are you serious? He punch you one time, your head fucking falls off.
Jim.
What the fuck is she talking about?
I say they do an exhibition grappling match and see who wins.
Yeah.
I think.
He should dry hump her. Yeah, bitch, you never had a
pay,
like,
would you pay,
dick on
would you
now.
Pay the pay-per-view? Would you pay $59.95 for that pay-per-view to watch Kane dry hump Ronda?
Yeah, I would pay for that.
See, Caraway and Ronda. Caraway and Ronda.
Not just dry hump her, like manhandle her, too. This is like ragdoll her around. Because, seriously, if this chick is really, really believing that she can really beat him, all right, like, bitch, I would Misha Tate beat her ass, all right, to bring her down from her fucking, her stupid-ass high horse that she's on, because this bitch is fucking outrageous. Like, shut the fuck up.
That's what happens when you start believing your own hype.
No, that's what happens when you fucking start fucking... You start getting fucked by fucking Dana White, and he's fucking saying, here, you can have all this fucking money, bitch. Just give me that fucking ass. And that's what that is, man. These motherfuckers, you know what the problem is? Well, a lot of these motherfuckers, you know, they just fucking forget. You know, they get up in there, and they become the organization's bitches. You know, that's what that is. Dick riding. Fucking motherfuckers be dick riding on them. Motherfuckers be sitting here talking about, well, yeah, I'll fight this person, and they get the title, and all of a sudden they become brand spanking new. Shit's crazy.
Yeah. Glad I brung that up.
Shit's so funny.
How do you sit here and say that you would fucking fight? You would fight a grown, a 6'4" heavyweight, and say you can beat him when he fucking he destroyed. And I mean, he destroyed your defense. Not once, but twice.
She said, if the conditions are right, she could beat him.
See,
I don't know what the conditions would be.
Listen.
The fact that people are even talking about this is funny because that's exactly what she has everyone doing. She's a marketing whore, that's for sure.
Listen, yeah. I would fuck that bitch with no Vaseline in her ass, all right? How the fuck is she sitting here saying that she? Yo, I can roll out of bed right now with no training for the last fucking 2 months and beat that bitch's ass by not even doing anything, just by manhandling. Like, I'm the man, you're the bitch. All right, I'm gonna choke you around and smack you around. But you gotta try to say a 6'4" heavyweight whose fucking hand is probably bigger than your fucking face. He would punch a chick one time and her fucking head would blow up. I mean, no, not even that. Imagine him taking her down. Him taking her down would hurt her.
Hey, guys, I got a special surprise for everybody, man. We got one of the newest, baddest boys on the block to sign a World Series of Fighting calling to hang out with us tonight. Cody Morgan, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
What's going on, man? I'm chilling.
Right on.
So, you called. I guess everybody wants to know about your contract, dude. Congratulations on getting it. A 4-5 fight deal, right?
Yeah, man. Thank you. It's a 4-fight deal. Pretty lucrative contract, man. I'm pretty excited about it.
That's what's up, man.
How soon do we see you fight?
January 18th, Houston, Texas, man.
H-Town, baby. Yeah. You fight down in H-Town. That's really
good. Yes, sir.
That's my turf. I love that place. Who you fight? Do you know yet?
They've tossed around a couple names, man, but nothing that, you know, I could really tell anybody that would have any credibility right now, you know?
Okay. So, since everybody out there obviously knows you were on top, now you're going there, how happy are you that you had this opportunity happen right away?
It was pretty awesome, man. You know, it's hard to bounce back from something, you know, like that happened on top for a lot of guys. And I don't know, man. It's a really great opportunity, and I'm surprised I didn't have to win a couple fights before they picked me up. You know, they're great people. They see something in me, obviously, and I'm glad they do. You know, Cepho and Ollie are great guys. They've treated me well so far, and I'm excited to, you know, live up to the hype that they think I have.
Okay, so you're obviously, you know, you're a talented fighter. You're up there. I want to ask you a question, be honest. What do you think of John Jones as a pound-for-pound rated fighter?
Man, I really think he's one of them. You know, he's top two for sure. We'll see how Anderson bounces back in December. I really think, you know, Jones is going to go down in history as the greatest ever, and he's on his way to that. But I hate to sound, you know, like a doubter. I believe 100% he's going to be pound for pound, just maybe after another fight or two.
Yo, if you're going to hate on him, go ahead and hate on him. None of us give a fuck.
No, I love the guy,
man. All of us have, like, pretty much I can speak for everybody on here besides yourself. We're all assholes here, so.
No. Hey, I love Jones, man. Me and him are homies. We've kicked it a couple times. He's a great guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got the challenge, man. Threw up about it.
Do we put you on the spot, beat down, Should you tell
them? Hey, listen. I was out in New Orleans with John Jones, man. I sat with him for the fights. Great guy, man. I'm serious. It really was a lot of fun. We tried to get him to be designated driver, you know. But, but that wasn't going to work.
He's a real dude, man. He's real humble.
He really is.
In person. He's a great guy.
Yep. And that's why I said I can't say anything negative because, man, it was just fun because listening to him. And he's a great coach, too, man, because we was there watching one of his fighters. And great coach, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's definitely a better coach than Rampage.
Oh, man, you're right.
Cody, I have a question for Cody. Cody, did you feel like kind of on tough that the guy just really didn't want to fight you more than anything? Like he could have took the fight, but he just didn't really want to be in there with you?
He said that.
I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I'm trying not to sound like a cocky, arrogant asshole, but I mean, I really
you,
believe
you
I was
fit right in.
Fucking,
you fit right on in if you do.
Yeah, I really think I was the top dog in there. You know, I don't think anybody would have picked me if they had the choice. But I think, you know, if I would have made weight, Anthony would have stepped up to the plate, and it would have been a fun fight. Of course, I think I would have won. But me and him are boys, you know, so I understand.
Yeah, that's, I guess, where it boils down to the business aspect, huh?
Yeah, exactly. You know, why risk it? You know, he's got a big contract on the line. I would have done the same thing. I wouldn't have risked it, you know, especially if I made weight and he didn't.
That's interesting, man. That's interesting to hear.
And let's just say that was the first time you ever even tried to make 135, right?
Well, I made it to get in the house, you know, did a pretty damn good job at making it to get it in the house, you know. It took me, it took me like 8 weeks of, you know, strict 3-day practices. The week before, you know, I was sauna every day. You know, I didn't think about how to keep making it, you know, week after week after week. And I think that's what added up to me missing weight, you know.
Yeah, trying to maintain the weight while you're in the house, I'm sure that's a bitch.
Well, yeah, I mean, the maintaining it wasn't too bad. I never got above, you know, 57, 58, and that's good for me because I can hit, you know, 140. I was making 140 twice a week every week while I was in there just in case I was fighting. And, you know, my coaches told me I'd be next when we kept control, and then they'd change it. And, you know, I ended up, you know, cutting a lot of times when I didn't have to. And when I finally had to make it, you know, my body said, fuck
you. Whose dumbass idea was that?
Brian?
Misha doesn't have a head. Brian's her head.
They did bicker a lot about practice and coaching and shit. They did kind of go back and forth about how to run things, but
I've managed her and I've coached both of those guys in my gym many times. Brian can suck a dick, straight up.
No!
I wouldn't mind fighting him, that's for sure.
Bro, I've been retired from fighting for 8 years. I tried to pick a fight with him. I tried everything that I could to possibly get a street fight with that punk ass bitch, dude. He's an ungrateful motherfucker. He uses everybody, bro. Seriously, I've trained him at least for 3 or 4 pro fights amongst many amateur fights. He just stops and uses all of us up. That motherfucker's never even offered to buy me a beer, a piece of shit.
Yeah, man, I didn't like how they played the victim too much, you know. I really didn't like that about them, but, you know, whatever. Shit happens.
No. Cody, did you guys in the house kind of want to see Brian and, what's his name, Tarvanian go at it?
Oh, hell yeah, man. I mean, we don't get any entertainment in the house. Of course we wanted to see a fight, you know? I mean, if you pay attention to the scenes where they're, like, about to fight and go down, like the one at the bar, I'm fucking standing right next to him, bro, laughing my ass off, hoping a fight goes down, because we don't get to do anything else.
He's such a bit. Dude, he seriously brought Hallman in to protect him from Ronda. That is no joke.
Are you serious?
Holm is a
dead fucking serious, bro. Not physically, but he knew he doesn't. Brian's not real, you know, quick witted like Holman is, bro. Me and Holman go way, way back, and Holman will fucking he'll say shit to Ron to make her cry on national TV, and so he brought her him in to protect his ass.
Yeah, I really liked Holman when he came in, man. He's still a tough bastard.
Dude, the way he breaks down his grappling is ridiculous, just the stuff that he says and everything else. And you guys also had Jack Anderson, who's here locally in my town. He's the wrestling coach here in my town.
Yeah, both great guys, man. That was one thing I did like. I didn't really like, you know, how Misha and Caraway ran the things, but the coaches they brought in, man, they're fucking incredible. That was definitely the best part of the season.
So, let me ask.
Were you able to learn quite a bit while you were in there?
Yeah.
I tried to learn as much as I can, man. You know, it's 6 weeks. Nobody's going to really evolve or change their whole game while you're in there. But, I mean, I came home and I'm still using shit that I learned from, you know, a couple of the guys while I was there. And some stuff that I really enjoyed and fit my style. Like, you know, I learned a lot from Holman while he was there and a guy named Ricky Lindell. And then, of course, Ricky.
Yeah. I heard Ricky is phenomenal.
Yeah, man, he's a wrestling-based grappler, and that's what I loved about him because, I mean, I'm just a retarded wrestler who tries to punch people. So, like, his jiu-jitsu, it clicked for me, you know? It really worked for me.
Put that shit on a shirt, brother. That's a $1 million.
Can we put that on a shirt? I'm just a retarded wrestler punching people in the face.
What weight class did World Series fight me at?
At 135.
Hey, Cody, are you looking forward to working with DFP on your cut for your World Series debut?
Yeah, definitely, man. I've heard some good things about the guy, and I looked him up, and he looks legit, man. So I'm excited.
He won his fight tonight, unanimous decision.
Oh, kick ass.
I was there. He pretty much, you know, controlled base and just unleashed ground and pound and controlled and took the didn't finish him, but a win's a win. Take it as it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right on.
So I expect him, he'll probably be getting in touch with you first of the week.
All right, take care, man.
Well, Jim, where are you out of? Where gym-wise out of? Where's your gym at?
I'm out of Millennia MMA and
Rancho
California.
I know all those guys, man. Javier and all those guys down there were originally and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dude, that's the greatest fucking saying, man. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, brother, you got to put that shit on a shirt.
Yeah, I'll get one made soon, man.
Fuck. Oh, Jason.
Yeah.
Hey, when's Julio fighting over there?
The 16th, next week. He leaves on Sunday.
Okay, I knew it was coming up. I was just curious why I had you here.
Him and I were actually talking about it earlier today. He's
Are you going to Michigan? That's what the fuck, let's stop all the bullshit. Are you going to Michigan?
I'm going to Michigan, bro. I'll be there that night.
Are you? Now, after your guys celebrate, who do you plan on partying with?
Well, the first things first, like, I actually had some conversations with the XFC, and, like, I just got to make sure Kershane doesn't get insane mode after he whoops fucking Trevino's ass.
Oh, man. You never been around drunk, Dave?
No. It'll be my first time.
Oh, man, bro. He motherfucker, he fought for me over in Montana one time. We did a show over there. He didn't make it back to the hotel. He slept under an overpass. Ask him about that sometime.
That's crazy.
Was that Ricardo or was that Dave?
Nah, it's Christine Dave.
That sounds more like Ricardo.
Yeah.
Jeff, I'm not sure if anybody knows about Ricardo.
That's
Drunk Dave. Drunk Dave is Ricardo.
Yeah, Drunk Dave. It was the same show.
I'll make sure he doesn't get too drunk.
We had another fighter named Kyle. Hey, we had another fighter named Kyle. I won't say his last name. Some of you guys might know him. But he was telling us, let's go find some homeless people, homeless girls, because if you buy them food, they'll give up smash. He was telling us.
What the fuck? Wow.
Oh, man. That guy's
swear to God, bro. He's no. Like, if you buy him a, you buy him a cheeseburger, dude, they'll give you a blowjob or something, bro.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't say his name, because I probably would have found him on Facebook and be like, dude, really?
You can't, you guys, now look, don't be talking to me, because I'm going to tell you from experience, the best thing about dating a homeless girl is you can drop her off anywhere.
Yeah, I never even heard about that. That shit is crazy. Hey, baby.
The thing is, he was serious. That's the scary part.
Hey, baby.
You know what,
though?
I'm gonna
you know you're homeless and everything. I'll get you a
cheesesteak
and you give me some fucking ass. How about that?
You can't say no.
But first, you gotta take a shower and shave.
Chrisane told me the other day the first person to ever knock him out back in 2002 when he was on his way to the gym was Trevor Pringley, and he told me the story about it. And I was like, well, that's great. Now you're going to train with him, man. Him and Daniel have fun.
Wow.
His first fight was Eddie Ellis. Eddie had probably 18 fights at the time, and him and Eddie slugged it out for about 3 rounds. Eddie ended up submitting him, I think, in the third. That was his first amateur fight.
You know, the thing about it is this, like, I know Sean's tougher than what the record shows. I mean, he's definitely got a tough fight, but I definitely think Chrisane will prevail, you know, and establish himself.
If the Davis can fight in the last 2 years on the circuit, the guy that's been fighting the last 2 years shows up, yeah, it's going to be one of those nights.
If Trevino meets the guy that beat up Lloyd Woodard in Lloyd Woodard's own town, or the mule.
No, his fight with the mule. Oh, my goodness. His fight with the mule was just priceless, man.
You know, and then you know, I get to look forward to Davis and Ribeiro and Frank Sherpoff in the co-main for that featherweight belt. And then Daniel's fight with the junior in the main event. It's going to be an interesting night, that's for sure. The only thing that I'm really not looking forward to is the cold weather.
That's what I was going to say. Do you know how to handle that, Florida boy?
Jason, no. We got to ask Jason the real question, and I want you to be 100% honest. You've got professional fighters, professional referees, fucking fans, media, everything listening tonight. Who wins, Devison or Lee Morrison?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Who's Lemo fighting?
Yeah.
Hey, who's
Lemo
fighting?
Yeah, man, why are you being a pussy?
I'm not answering that question.
Come on, I know they're both your clients, but nobody's listening. It's just a bunch of friends hanging out.
I'm not answering that question.
You don't want to get yourself in trouble, huh?
It's not even that. It's just a matter of, you know, I've said this 1,000 times, and I guess I'll have to say it 1,001 now. RSM clients will not fight each other. Simple as that.
What do you mean, dude? What are you talking about? If you try to tell me that you weren't going to let me fight one of your other clients for a world title, you're going to be saying goodbye.
At that point, you know, here's the thing. If there's a world title on the line, it's with a major organization. Fate brought them together because they both worked their way up in the division to get shot, you know. I can't control that, but the things that I can control, you know, that fight wouldn't happen, number one.
I agree.
Number two, Lee's under contract with a whole different separate organization for the next 2 years. When that 2 years are up, we're going to evaluate.
I'm calling you out right now. Jason from Relentless Sports Management, I'm calling you out right now. You send that fucker home and come back, Jason, from the strip club. Dude, we're not going to let you get all technical. We'll drop it, but don't give me that fucking legal mumbo jumbo. It hurts my head, my beard go flat.
Well, I will publicly say this, since he's on the line, and be up front with him. Hey, Cody, are you there?
Yes, sir.
I know you saw my comment. Like, I think it would be a great fight between the both of you if WSOF want to put it together. Josh Redenhouse in January and you.
That's what they should do. Redenhouse looked great in his last fight, man.
We're open to the opportunity to because we just made a successful debut at WSOF 6. We'd be open to that opportunity to step in the cage with you, you know.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm looking to fight anybody I can. So.
Well, I mean, at this point, it's not my decision, or your camp's decision. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, World Series is going to do what they want to do and offer you, the potential opponents or whatever for you to look at, and vice versa.
Yeah.
But
hopefully,
we can put it together. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
It's fight for both of you guys.
Yeah, if they offer it, I'll take it, man. It'll be a fun fight.
So.
Will you be going to Wasoff 7 here in Canada?
Man, I'm hoping they fly me out just to kind of promote everything, but I haven't heard yet. So, I mean, I should know within a week or two.
I think that'd be a fun opportunity to get to have.
Yeah, definitely.
A weekend in Vancouver is never a bad idea.
Yeah.
Now, will you start camp? When will you start camp for this fight?
I'm already in camp, man. I started last week training hard,
wow.
And I'm finally under 160 again.
Yeah,
no bullshit, man. No bullshit. 2 days after I left the house, I was 170 with no IVs. I get pretty fucking big, man. So I'm finally under 160. I'm pretty lean right now, feeling good. And camp already started, man. The grappler's question.
What did you weigh when you went to Vegas for the tryouts? What did you weigh when you went to Vegas for the tryouts?
I had to cut down to 160, bro. Yeah, Gary DeFranco, one of the producers, called me, and he's like, "Hey, man, I want you on the show. I know you're a bigger, 45er. You need to show up to the tryouts, and you need to be 160 or under." So I cut down to 160. Not really cut, but, I got down to 160, and that's what I was at the tryouts.
Yeah, because I brought my 3-0 35-pounder at the time down there, and he weighed like 52. So, I mean, they were weighing everybody. There was guys getting sent home. They'd weigh him, and they didn't even get to try out.
Yeah.
Wow. There was some big – there was guys 180 pounds. Or, that guy that had the mask on, the guy that had that freaking 300-type mask on walking around, that dude had to be 180 pounds.
Yeah, there were some guys that no fucking way, I mean, I know I didn't make weight, but, there's some guys there that aren't even, close to making 35s.
Cody, does the food they supply you kind of make it a little bit harder to make weight, too? Or maybe the amount of food that they have there at the house?
No, not really, man. I didn't adjust well enough, I mean, the training schedule is different. When I'm at home getting ready for a camp like I did for my fight to get into the house, I'm practicing 3 times a day with a 3-mile run. I'm working my ass off, every day. And while we were on the show, I mean, there were days where we wouldn't even fucking practice because we were taking pictures and interviews all day. So, I mean, that shit adds up, Or there'd be days where we'd only have one practice, and the first 20 minutes of it, Caraway and me, they're arguing about what to do.
Yeah, but every time they brought you down to 140, you shot back up to 160. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'm doing that every week, and, I felt good every time except the last 2 or 3 times, and, and Misha swore up and down, you're going first. You're the only guy on our team that wants to fight first. You're going to fight first. We're going to call up their best guy and all this bullshit. I mean, go read the people's blogs around my team, they all say the same thing. I was supposed to fight first, and she kept dicking me around until the last fight. Not that that's an excuse at all, but, I made unnecessary weight cuts because of that.
Man, that's not an excuse. That's a good reason. That explains a lot.
Hey, yeah, man.
Why did you guys all hate on Juliana so bad, man? That girl's cool as shit, man.
Hey, man. I don't know, man. Me and her are both young. We didn't get along, but it wasn't just me. I can see how she would be a cool person probably outside of the house. I'm sure me and her would have gotten along if we met under different circumstances. And I've said my stuff about her. I'm trying not to hate on her too much anymore, even though she keeps running her fucking mouth about me in blogs and shit. Won't shut the fuck up. That's the worst part, man. I've apologized, and hey, you know, I haven't said a fucking
don't
word.
Apologize. Just go over there. Hey, listen, listen. Don't apologize. Just go over and say, hey, look, let's meet up and let's talk. And then you slip some in her drink and you get her drunk and then you just take off her clothes and take pictures of her.
Oh, my God. Jason did not comment on that one.
Chris Holmes might get mad about that.
Yeah. Hey, listen, MMAtopics.net has nothing, no affiliation with what he just said. I just want to put that out there. Right.
Hey, this is my roofer. I'm gonna find stuff and shit.
Yeah. That would be rough.
I'm curious, Cody. You know, you had a huge selection of training partners you never worked with. Without naming names or anything, so we don't put you in a bad spot, did you run across a big, cocky ego fuck?
I'm sorry, man. You're breaking up on that question.
Yeah, bad. You're breaking up bad.
Yeah.
Well, then, as
I tried.
Did you run across, without saying any names, some, like, guys with some fucking egos in there that didn't deserve those egos?
Yeah, yeah. You know, there were some guys there, and, you know, I had the... Fuck, I don't want to... Yeah, there were some guys there for sure that had some undeserved egos and thought they were better than they were, definitely.
Oh, boy, it's always like that. There's always somebody with some fucking egos acting all crazy and shit for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
Hey, look at me,
that,
I'm on
TV. I mean, that was one good thing, though, man. That was one good thing, like... We had chicks in the house, too, so, like, it kind of leveled it out, man. There weren't too many guys, you know, they didn't walk around like fucking hard asses all the time
because
they, you know,
yeah,
look stupid as shit.
Walking around with their tits out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, hey.
Hey, now,
all the chicks in there, all the chicks in there, which one of the chicks would you, you know, date or bang or whatever?
No!
Man, I don't think I could touch any of them, bro. I mean, fuck. I mean, all right, so, like, Rhonda and Misha, right? No, no, yeah, my wife would whip my ass, one, but... Hey, think about it like this. I don't think, hey, no. Hey, think about it like this. You throw Rhonda and Misha in the MMA world, women's MMA, they're good-looking, right? But you throw them in a club, at some random club in Florida or Vegas, and nobody knows them from MMA... You know, they're not going to get hit on like they would. You know, they're good looking for women's MMA, but in the regular world, you know, they're nothing special.
He's trying to ask you, who would you fuck with Skippy's dick is what he's asking you.
Who would I?
Hey, that's messed up because you guys know I'm no Rhonda fan, and I don't want to hear that come out of his mouth, okay?
No, hey, I love Rhonda, bro. I love Rhonda. She's fucking awesome, you know. Me and her talk all the time, and she's a –
Well, that's, hey, everybody out there has their favorites.
I'll message you her number, man, so you can start stalking her.
Here's my question. Was that the longest you've been away from
hey.
Your family? Cody, was that
yeah,
the longest you've been away from your family at the house?
Yeah, man, anytime I go out to New Mexico, like at Jackson's MMA, or I travel anywhere, bro, they're with me. Any camp I go off to, I keep them with me all the time.
Oh, that's cool, man.
How hard was that?
Yeah, it works for me.
Being away from them. How hard was it being away from them?
Man, you guys saw me fucking getting all emotional like a little chick and shit. It was hard, man. It fucking sucked, dude.
You guys
don't
have
hey, look, and another reason, I didn't like fucking Misha is you saw like Father's Day how Rhonda brought in those gifts, right?
Yeah.
Well, like, she brought pictures for her team, like pictures of their family, and no bullshit, bro, I was the only one a week before Father's Day begging Misha, like, hey, can you get me a picture for Father's Day? That'd be fucking awesome. You know, that would be really cool if you can get me a picture of my family for Father's Day, that, you know, or just show me one real quick and take it away. Like, something like that would be fucking awesome. First, she doesn't do shit. I don't get a picture from her. And then Rhonda, and this is after Misha swore up and down, she begged the producers, there's no way it's going to happen. And then Rhonda brings in some for her team. That was another fucked up thing, man.
Well, where did she get the picture of your little girl whenever she was trying to get you to cut weight?
That fuck. That was too late, man. I was already fucking. I broke by then.
Yeah.
That was different. I don't know where the fuck. No bullshit, man. She keeps messaging me on Facebook and shit. Like, I hope you're not mad at me. I was just upset. Why aren't you following me on Twitter? Shit like that, man. It's fucking weird. Her mom added me on Facebook. Like, she won't fucking leave me alone, bro. I'm not fucking with you. I'm not kidding, bro. I deleted her. I unfollowed her and deleted her off of Facebook. And her mom fucking friend requested me, like, the day after.
Dude. Oh, hey, you could join the Misha Club like somebody else did from California.
No, I'm good,
oh,
man.
Oh, wow.
I'm not jumping on that train.
Oh,
that's
come on.
Ridiculous.
While Brian was gone to the Ultimate Fighter House, somebody was in the club.
Oh, I heard a team was. I'm not going to, you know, go too into that. No, hey, no bullshit, though, man. I heard the same thing out of California.
Yeah.
They up north,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, hey, it must be true.
Wow.
Hey, Cody, let me ask you this. Going into this before you fought in the house, did you expect a tough baby to come out of this situation when you were there at some point with some of the competitors, or what did you think on that?
I thought maybe it would happen. You know, I didn't know if they were going to bring in, you know, chicks that were there to win the show or, you know, chicks that were there to be on TV, and they brought up both, but, I mean, I really had no expectations. I tried, you know, just, I don't know, man. I tried not hyping it up in my head too much, but, you know, I thought there could be a chance, but it didn't really happen, man. So that was weird. You know, everybody kind of thought it would for a little bit.
Which of the girls' fights did you think was better, the Shayna Baszler-Juliana Pena fight or Raquel and Jessamyn?
Raquel and Jessamyn, man. Yeah, I was sitting there fucking front row, dude. Raquel and Jessamyn, by far, it was an amazing fight. I loved that fight. Guessing you don't agree.
No. I think that was probably the right one, too. But, I mean, those are probably the two that stick out the most in my head. But, I mean, what people that, like, you were asking, like, it's so much different, like, you know, when you watch it or when you're there. So, you
yeah.
like, you get to see things that we don't get to see. And more
yeah,
so,
for sure.
You know, hear the shots
yeah,
that are landing.
But nobody thought Juliana was going to win, and they forgot to tell her that.
No, yeah, no shit, right? Hey, man, I'm not too, you know, involved in women's MMA. I didn't know too much about it. So I was just going off what everybody in the house thought. You know, Shayna's the vet.
Dude.
Who the fuck is Juliana?
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't give Juliana a shot to win either. But damn, dude, she fucking.
Juliana
won that
when
bro.
She was.
Even if I don't. Go ahead.
When she was a 1-0 amateur, she fought another 1-0 amateur on my show. She beat this girl up so bad. The girl's dad called me the next day cussing me out. That's how bad she beat this girl up, dude. He can fight.
Fuck. No, hey, yeah, that's one thing, bro. No matter how much I don't get along with Juliana and how fucked up in the head I think she is, she's fucking tough, bro. She's got heart and she's tough.
Yeah.
I'll give her that. She's tough as nails.
I reffed her fight when she fought Sarah Morass last time. Sarah broke her arm. Well, I reffed that
yeah,
fight.
Bro,
she didn't
pass
stop.
From that either.
No,
yeah,
she wanted to keep going. They were trying to get
the
arm. They were trying to get the arm back in, and I was letting them do their thing. I didn't care.
That's awesome, man.
Go ahead, carry. Hamlin's yourself. Like one of the best refs that I've ever seen because, and Cody, you'd really like fighting for him because he's gonna let it like if you're gonna pretty much really be out. Like you'll be out if he's stopping the fight.
I'll pick
right?
you up when you're. I'll pick you up when you're done, bro.
All right, right, yeah. right on. Sounds good.
Who are some of the main guys you're training with down there at Millennia?
Georgie Karkanyan, Syed Awad.
Oh, shit.
Man, we got some fucking tough guys there, bro.
Hey,
a couple of guys that aren't really well-known but tough.
What is that guy? He used to be down there. I think he was with Millennia. He was like 10-0 back in the day, bro, and then he just retired and was done. I could have sworn he was from Millennia down there. He was an 85-pounder.
I don't know, man. Give me a hint or something.
Oh, man. I can swear he was with Javier and all those guys down there when back when they were with King of the Cage, and then he switched over to the UFC and fought there, and he was 10-0, and then all of a sudden he just disappeared, stopped fighting. I mean, wait, he was
schooled in his
local.
Are you thinking of Philip Miller?
Yeah, what happened to that guy?
Yeah, man, he was out of WCG back with, like, Joe and Ted and shit. Yeah, bro, he was 16 and up, and he had the contract with the UFC, and they wanted, in his contract, back in the day, their contracts were a little different. So in his contract, there was an agreement where he would at least get paid half of what his opponent gets. They were giving him tough fucking fights. So they wanted him to fight Phil Baroni when Phil was, you know,
yeah, I remember that.
Doing his fucking thing.
Wow.
And they didn't want to pay Philip Miller what they agreed to, so he just fucking retired, man. Crazy.
Young.
16-0, bro,
yeah.
And just retired.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I was down there at a card in Florida when he fought on that card, man. He beat a Brazilian dude down there that was tough as hell. He was tough. Real tough.
Yeah. Yeah, he was tough, man.
Who's been your toughest fight to date, Cody?
Man, I've had some tough fights. One, you know, back in the day that stands out to me is I fought a guy named Nick Trejo, man, and he hasn't fought since I fought him, but he's a tough bastard, and, you know, he broke my nose, cut me open in the first round, kind of started beating the hell out of me, and I ended up coming back and winning, man, but I'd say he was my toughest fight. You know, the fights that I've lost, I would redo any day. I feel like I didn't show up. And, you know, they were tougher opponents, you know, on paper-wise. But I got to say this guy named Nick Trejo, man, was just a monster. Me and him went at it back and forth.
What was your funnest fight? Like, what was the one you had the most fun in?
My fight to get in the house, man. That one or Cameron Dollar. Those are the two fights so far where I really felt, you know, I've started to feel more comfortable on my feet. You know, everybody knows me as a wrestler, and I'm finally starting to feel more comfortable on my feet, man. So, I mean, Rafael DeFreitas and Cameron Dollar, bro, I got to really let go on my feet, and I'm enjoying it, bro. I'm enjoying, you know, being such a good wrestler that I can dictate where the fight goes. And now that I'm more comfortable, you know, I'm having more fun with that.
Would you
wrestle one day?
Do you have wrestling? Okay.
One day you'll have grandkids. One day you'll have grandkids. What's the first fight you'll tell them about at this point in your career?
Shit, man. I don't know. I don't know, man. Probably when Dean Thomas subbed me. Even though it was it's a no contest now, but even though it was a loss at the time, you know, that was a fight where, you know, I really learned how important it is to not make, you know, like if you make one mistake, the fucking fight's over, you know. And Dean Thomas was the first guy I fought that, you know, really made that clear to me that, you know, at that elite level, you know, the OGs like that, you make one mistake and they'll end the fight. And that's where I really learned, you know, how serious that is, because, you know, I was feeling good and then, you know, got overconfident because I got out of the first couple arm bars, and then, you know, I got overconfident and made that mistake, and he finished it pretty quick. So I'd probably talk about that one, man, just how, what a great lesson it was and how thankful I am it's not actually on my record anymore.
Where'd you grow up? I was asking where you grew up wrestling at.
I wrestled in Cali, man. I wrestled for a high school named Sultana. Took third in Cali State. Yeah,
took
third in Cali State. Won freestyle in Greco State a couple times.
Yeah, I grew up wrestling in Southern California.
Okay, right on, man.
Yeah, I grew up in Indio, and then I wrestled for Cerritos, and then I left and wrestled for the Air Force, man. So I'm
moving. Oh, hell yeah. Right on, man. Yeah, I spent a year at Cerritos, too.
Nice.
Hey, Cody, are you still with Phenom, or are you with another management group? No.
No, man, I'm not with Phenom anymore. I haven't been for a while. I'm doing the solo thing as far as management right now. You know, I'm letting a couple people take care of sponsors for me, you know,
right.
Just because I can't handle that part. But, I mean, I got into Tusk by myself. I got WSOF by myself. I'm happy with how the contracts are. My dad and my coaches do a great job so far. And, you know, I know one day there's going to be a point where they can't handle it anymore and I'll need a manager. But right now, man, I'm flying solo, and it's working for me so far.
If it's not broken, don't fix it. If it's not broken,
don't
try to fix it, brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was just
exactly.
curious because, you know, I was just listening to you talk about your experience with Dean. And, you know, some backdoor conversations were coming up from when you were with Ricky, and like from what I was told, being told, Ricky didn't know who Dean was, and he's one of these old school guys, and this that whatever.
Yeah,
he fought in the UFC nine times and was a top five lightweight in the world.
Yeah, that was fucking funny to hear.
But when I was hearing this, I mean, to be honest with you, brother, I'm really close friends with Dean. Actually, I represent his pro fight team, and I'm the one that got Dean that fight with you up there in PA.
Okay.
And when I was hearing these things from you about your, you know, Ricky saying this, I'm like, doesn't want to take a few minutes to Google Dean and look at his accomplishments?
Yeah,
what,
no shit. You know, what happened in that fight?
What's up?
What happened in that fight? What happened in that fight? It became a no contest. I've never heard about that fight. I'm curious. What happened in that fight?
There's a failed urine test on his part. I don't know for sure what. I'm not gonna speculate.
I really don't know what
it was though.
Alright.
Yeah. Anyways.
It was.
Wow.
I'll say this. I found out like when it was a man. I will say this. It's nothing sports enhancement. Is what he said. He didn't fail for that, and only with
a. Is it a video game enhancer?
No, to be honest with you, he was taking a sleep aid, and
anything.
He popped for fucking a sleep aid. Fucking that it wasn't supposed to be, you know, sports enhancement or TRT on in that nonsense.
It probably comes up as an opiate.
Yeah. And that's why they got changed to a no contest.
Gotcha. Not for me, shit, man. I got to fight a legend and fucking lost, and it's not on my record. That's fucking awesome for me.
Cody,
I got a free fight with him.
Also on that card that night was Rustam Khabilov, man. What did you get to watch him that night, or do you even remember him from that event?
Yeah, man, me and him train at Jackson's. Every time I go out there, bro, he's the best wrestler out there. And he's the guy out there that's taking me down and keeping me on my toes wrestling-wise. Guy's a fucking monster, dude.
Yeah, he's a fucking killer, man. I love the Russian guys. Are they just what's it like talking to them on a regular basis? Do you have to have a hard time not laughing? I would always be trying to – I would be like, fucking, this motherfucker's cracking me up.
Yeah, no, they're funny, man. They're cool to hang out with. You know, they're different, but they're cool dudes. You know, and their translators do a great job at, you know, explaining what they're trying to fucking say.
Is it harder to talk to them?
Tell Nemo that you love Makan Balloon too.
Huh?
Yeah.
What, Jason?
I said you're just talking about how you love the Russians. I'll make sure you tell Lee when he gets back from his honeymoon how you were loving on Makan Balloon privately.
Well, dude, his fight Saturday the other day was good, man.
With Masvidal?
A lot of people on my Facebook and Twitter were talking shit, saying Masvidal is going to win it and all that. But it was a lot closer than people thought, I think.
I was surprised Masvidal shut his wrestling down pretty damn well, you know?
Yeah, man, that was one thing, bro. He even took Rustam down once. That was really surprising.
Inside leg trip.
that was kind of scary, bro.
Where did the spinning wheel kick come from?
you didn't hear his interview? He said he was pissed off that George was talking shit, you know, the way George normally does before a fight. And so he was mad. That's why he threw his hand so hard in the fight. He normally doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, I think that Masvidal's wrestling, obviously you saw the improvements. I know that Colby Covington lives with him, so I'm sure he's been working on his wrestling, like, one-on-one with him, aside from some of the other stuff
that are
like, freaky, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Colby's a two-time Pac-12 champion, and I think a junior college national champion, also fellow Oregon State Beaver. So, I mean, yeah, dude, he's definitely getting some fucking
training down there. Why would you fucking drop? Like, come on, man. That's like fucking name drop. And you're like, I was hanging out with Travis Cooter, and he took me to the back room and gave me a hand job. Let me throw a ball.
Hey, that.
Fuck your Oregon State.
Hey, Skippy.
Yeah.
I got a recruiting letter when I was down in junior college down in California before I was heading off the military, and I was like, what the fuck is that beaver? Why is this state, Oregon State beaver? You know, I'm from Southern California at the time. I'm cool. I'm leaving for the Air Force, man. I wouldn't mess with the Air Force because I didn't want to be a beaver.
You missed out, bro. Now, for the last 20 years of your life, all you've done is chase the beaver.
Hey. I must be doing something right, huh?
Hey, Anthony, how do you see the Daniel Swain and Junior Cynthia out?
Ah, man. What weight is that fight at?
45?
Swain, the thing is about Swain, man, is if he can get into his game and, you know, mix his wrestling up with his striking, he's good. But if Junior shuts it down, that's, you know, it's going to be a long night. So Swain's tough. He's just nobody knows about him yet. You know what I mean?
Well, they know about him at Pancrase.
Yeah.
Is that somewhere you'd like to fight at, like Pancrase or Dream or Deep or
Dare?
Hey, Chick.
Did we lose him?
Shit. Yeah, I guess we lost him. Must have just, like, in the last minute.
Yeah.
I think he said he was on a cell phone that was getting ready to die, like, an hour ago. Jeff, you're getting smacked. I'm muting you. Fuck, dude. Straight up. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but there's definitely been a fucking pimp-ass sit-down tonight, man.
So, Jason.
Yeah, that is cool.
Jason, who all do you have fighting up in Michigan, and where are you going to stay at?
I got Swain fighting Junior in the main event. Davison Ribeiro is fighting French Sherpa on the co-main for the featherweight belt in their featherweight tournament final. And then for Shane's fighting Sean Trevino.
Nice. Did you say what's his name signing with you? The guy just fought in the World Series at 135. What the hell is his name?
Josh Ray.
From Northwest. Is he with you guys now?
Yes, he is.
Nice. That kid's tough, man. He looked real good in his debut.
But, dude, Hamlet, let's be honest, dude. That's the best Josh Reddinghouse you've ever seen in his entire fight career.
I reffed his fight in Cage Fort when he fought for the title over there, and Cody.
Against Corey Bombar?
Corey just destroyed him with wrestling. I mean, just dominated him with wrestling. And then here he is fighting a Cuban Olympian, and he just shuts him down.
Yeah. No, that's the exact same thing I was thinking the whole time watching that. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Dude, good for him.
Well, depending on when he's coming back, we'll be determining where he's going to be doing his camp at for his next fight, you know?
What are his options?
You know, we'll cross that bridge when it comes, once we know. Just like,
well,
know,
obviously you have some ideas, so let's just act like we're at the fork in the road. Well, and you can tell.
Beerbaum said he'd been training pretty hard. He's been training with Moldy Hill and those guys a lot. He'd been doing some cross training over there with those guys, some guys, because there's no guy, you know, there's no smaller guys in his own gym. Everybody's 55 pounders and up that are quality. So he's been going over and training with Moldy Hill and those guys some.
They're savages.
Well,
him and
just
Adam
like
Smith,
I can say about Limo, session. Limo won't be doing this camp up in the up there his next fight.
What are his options? Is he going to stay in Serbia?
I'll probably be looking to either go to all I'm going to say is this. He'll probably be going to someplace with sunny air conditions.
Florida. American Top Team, probably.
Or California. Sunny air conditions.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, down at Uriah's gyms would be a good place for him, too. I mean, he's got Dwayne Ludwig down there now, you know?
But first, he's got to get through his wrestling season that he's coaching, and then, you know, then we'll get picked up where we left off.
First things first.
So is he not going to fight again until next summer?
What's that?
No, he won't fight.
Is he off until next summer?
No, he'll be back in March.
No, hey, hold a second. Look, I want to go back to something Hamlet just said. Hamlet,
yes, sir.
I really 100% agree that is the best gym for him right now at his stage in his career. There is no better place for somebody with his talents and his ability to grow and have the right teachers around him.
He goes down to Alpha Male. He's not taking those guys down, so he's going to be forced to stand and bang, you know, in practice.
Yeah. I love it. And let's be honest. Right now, one of the top MMA strikers in the game today, whether you like his career or like him personally, is Dwayne, man. The guy is...
Dwayne's top-notch striker and a top-notch striking coach.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what a perfect place for Lee to make that development, to fine hone his craft and make that next step talent-wise to the elite
Absolutely.
Level of
Like I said, I'm going to go somewhere where it's sunnier out, sunnier conditions, and not get the phone call that it's just starting to snow. Like I get a call from Christine to tell me that. It's snowing here, buddy, and I'm running in the snow.
Dave's country.
Dave doesn't need Alpha. He needs to go to Duke Rufus's place for a little bit.
No. Dave needs to get his grappling down. He needs to go down to American Top Team and play with those black belts for fucking 6 weeks, dude. That's what he needs to go do. Because he can already bang. He's a two-time undefeated state champion wrestler up here. He needs to get where he can rely on that skill.
I think the style of fighting that the guys are doing there, especially, you know, people like the brothers, Or the brothers' names?
The Pitbull brothers?
No, the ones up there.
About Patricky?
No, he's talking about up at Rufus.
Pettis? Yes, thank you. I couldn't fucking think of it. You know, I think
that's,
the way that they've been able to help those boys develop their game, I see that kind of game plan and that kind of fighting style would fit somebody like Rashad.
I'd like to see Dave work on his grappling more. He needs to utilize that skill that he has in his back pocket.
Yeah, but why when you got dynamite in your hand, in both hands?
But you know what? It makes for a short career. Look at Aaron Riley. You know what I mean? It's either knocked out or get knocked out, and that makes for a short career. You gotta have other tools in the you know, your arsenal just in case you need them. You know what I mean? You might take them down, wear them down, and then knock them out late. So,
yeah.
But, you know, I'll tell you one person that I do feel for, because that shit's going to be fucking rough, as I feel for Julio, man, because that shit's probably going to be like below zero temperatures, man, when he's in Russia next week.
dude, trust me, it's not going to be outside.
Dude. He's going to be in with, like, the Russian hookers, dude.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be wasting my time going to Michigan, Jason. You should be trying to go on these trips to Russia with your clients.
That's my plans for 2014, bro. That's my plans in 2014.
Hey, for anybody out there who wants to hop on, because we're about to go off live air in 6 minutes, and you want to continue listening to the show or be part of it, so we decide to stop the thing in the next little while, you have to call 310-742-1799. 310-742-1799.
Who's
661? Hey,
Who's
661? That's Clinch. Hey, and I just muted doing something. I could hear something making noise for a second.
Yeah, fucking vibrator.
Yeah, big shout-out to Cody Bollinger, man, for kicking back tonight, man. It was great to have him on. Also, Kane, I'm glad you're with us. Beatdown, Hamlet, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You know, let me just give a big, quick shout-out to my sponsors. That way, that's all done. Hey, Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in all of Oregon. MMAMadhouse.com for all your news. Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution. Hit them up. Kick-ass shit. Clinch Custom Mouth Guard, theGetClinch.com. Ink Tank Tattoo, check them out. Top work in the country. Jax Media up at jaxmedia.ca. Whatever you need, shirt, fight posters, hold fight bios for fighters, hit them up. Go Fight Live TV, best place for iPay-per-view on MMA, boxing, and tie fights. Aggressive MMA clothing and the baddest boys on the block, Revolver MMA. Hit up Javier and the boys anytime you need some custom work. Fuck my sponsors.
Hit them up. Hit him up.
Now we don't got to worry. We can just keep on talking.
Yeah, that was a lot of motherfuckers you had to fucking shout out, huh? Like 20 motherfuckers?
Dude,
it's a good problem to have. It's a good problem.
Dude, we making no noise, asshole.
Oh, shut up,
asshole.
I was muted the whole time, you fucking homo.
Oh,
no, dude, you weren't muted. You weren't muted. It was your fucking microphone was broken.
Yeah.
You've been talking for 10 minutes, we know.
And, Kane, we got so many on our regular show on Wednesday night, which is, a, you know, more of a super tie show. We've got so many.
Yeah.
We have a play button that just plays them all because I can't ever fucking remember 15, 18 sponsors.
That's just
Skippy,
crazy.
Skippy's a bragger. He's a bragger.
Hey,
there's
we
really like
sponsors. I'll brag about all my sponsors. You know how much love they give us? Every one of them. Hey, I spent the last weekend in Big Pete's, the best strip club on the West Coast, watching live music, live titties. Our bar tab should have been about $370, and it was $18. That's a fucking sponsor taking care of their phone.
Oh, damn.
All she said was tip fat, so we tipped the bartender $50. They give me mad love. I give them love on the show anytime.
That's just so, man.
Hey, but the best thing is when I go in there, like, first time she's like, dude, just tell the girls that you have a contract and that we pay for a service as your sponsor and that you can't intermingle with them. You, like, buy lap dances and shit. So the girls don't fuck with me. It's great. They just hang out and talk to me, and I don't have to, like, buy drinks. I don't have to hear them going, oh, honey, you want a lap dance? So they know they ain't getting no fucking money out of this Mexican Jew.
But if you're a Chinese Jew, they'd get all your money.
Maybe. Maybe, but I'm a Mexican Jew, so like the gangster in me peeps him up and down and gets the free look, and the Jew in me tells him,
Dude, I'm going to have a hard time not staying up all night watching Combat 8. It's going to go off here in the next half hour.
Oh, yeah, and it's free, folks. Get out there and watch it. It's free. So is the 8-man King of the Ring one-night MMA tournament, which is about half over. Oh, and High TV folks has live TIE fights right now.
Dude, I thought they were over.
Oh. Oh, fuck. We've been on here for 2 hours. I forgot.
Oh, man.
That's what I love.
Dude, there was some sick knockouts on the TIE TV tonight.
Yeah. There's always great fucking shit. Dude, I don't know why more people... It's free, folks. You don't got to download nothing. You don't got to worry about it. It's TV streaming live from Thailand. And they have...
Yeah, thanks for the stream, too, Skippy.
Oh, yeah, dude. We're always about sharing streams. Dude, by the way, everybody out there, go out there and support smoke.net. Get out there
we'll
and
share. Hey, we'll share streams, but don't cross them, motherfuckers.
Oh, fucking everybody for real. Get out there and support Rear Naked Smoke .net, man. They are the shit.
They won't have your Thai TV, but they'll have other stuff. They have Super Combat from last weekend or 2 weeks ago, whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, I gotta watch that. Somebody tagged me that shit. Yeah, I gotta watch that one.
Oh, dude. I'm going to send it to you right now, brother. Dude, this is like the best site in the world. It's been non-stupid. And, like, they don't fuck with Zupa at all. But, dude,
yeah, you do fuck with Zupa. Don't lie.
No,
dude.
No, no,
you can't say you don't fuck with Zupa.
I said we're making Zupa, dumbass. And I don't fuck with
Zupa. Yeah, you do fuck with Zupa.
I'll watch Zupa, but I sure the fuck don't fuck with him, like, let's say Chris Gregory. That motherfucker, he swallows so much Dana cock, dude. I think he's having Dana bait.
That is kind of true.
Yeah, so. Dude, yeah, no. I don't mind watching and being honest. There's good fighters. But I think the UFC is a watered-down fucking division now. It's starting to become like a regional show where only the top 8 or 9 guys really get to perform. Everybody else is second best and gets treated that way, you know? And I understand. I'm not talking about pay, folks, so don't even fucking get on me about pay. We're just talking about how they're treated. Pay is another issue. Some guys have earned that paycheck. Some guys haven't. But, Lepaki, I always go back to your thing. If these guys could leverage their fucking talent in their contracts to get better contracts with better back-end part of it and not just stupid fucking cash up front and everything's fucking great, you know, look at the long fucking term of your career and make your contract work for you and not you work for your contract, I think we would see not only better fights, but I think we would see better turnouts in every league across the board talent-wise.
I agree. But Dana White's a dickhead and he's a fucking faggot, so that's never going to happen.
I agree. I totally agree. Hey, and Kane, definitely always check the chat box on the right-hand side on Rear Naked Smoke. I sent you a link. There's always good stuff in there.
Almost definitely I'll do that.
Yeah, you're about to get cracked out. I think they have, just on their main page, what do you think, Lepaki, 50, 60 events just on their main page?
I don't know how many. I think he's only got 30.
Okay, well, yeah, okay, 30 just on his main page, let alone his archive.
Today's Badr Hari is listed, but whoever originally posted the video on YouTube, it was taken down. Yo, that was a terrible fight. What the fuck, yo? I was stuck at work.
He's not ready to be in the top again. He needs more time.
You know what? I watched his other fight before that, and he looked fucking terrible. Looked like he didn't train at all. Looked like he just, like, you know, probably, like, hit the pads a couple times or whatever and say, oh, whatever, I don't need to train hard. And this guy fucking knocked him the fuck out.
Yep.
So, you know, that shows a tree right there.
He's not ready for the upper echelon of the kickboxing world right now.
Did you see the knockout Daniel Sam had 2 weeks ago?
Uh-huh.
Where he, like, hit the guy with the left hook, and the guy kind of, like, spun around and then just kind of slouched and slowly fell down the ropes. I got to see that.
Hey, it's on Dirty
Dozen. It's on, yep. You know what I noticed, like guys like Daniel Sim, like, those guys are really good, but as the rounds go on, they start to slow down, and then, you know, like, this goes out to every fighter, like, all fighters, you know, you gotta have your cardio up to par, because, you know, you can't come in at half-assed. Like, every time we train at TPS, cardio is the number one thing. You're not getting it. You're not taking a fight if you don't have no type of cardio. You know, I've always had a problem with that. With every fight that I've seen, like heavy, especially heavyweight, because they, you know, they're all big. Like your boy, Bobby Lashley. When he first got knocked out by this dude, yo, it was so funny because he takes this guy down and he fucking beat on him, and then, like, the guy survives, and then he's like, oh, I'm dying already. Oh, and then he gets manhandled. I'm just like, yo, you got to always have that cardio.
It's the only thing you can control in a fight. The only thing you can control.
Well, fellas, it's good kicking with you guys tonight, and I'll catch up with you next week, man. I got to get some sleep. 8
hey.
O'clock comes early for Little League, so you Let guys have give, fun. It's always let entertaining.
Let
and
give, shout out, Jason, man. You know, go Tampa Bay Bucks. I know that's your team.
Yeah, the Bucks aren't my team, bro. You've obviously been fucking eating some special brownies tonight or something. For you, if you think the Bucks are my team.
Oh, you're the Cowboys?
No. I can't really care for the NFC, bro.
Oh, my bad. You know, I mess it up all the time. I always forget Lapaki is a Red Sox fan and not a Yankees fan.
Hey, see, you, Lapaki and I are in full agreement. Sox,
dude. Hey, listen.
Until the end of time.
Fuck over no. here, hey, yo, over here in Boston, these motherfuckers are going crazy for Red Sox. I don't even like baseball, but I'm glad they won because I had a bet with my friend. She lived in St. Louis. And it's time to
you know what, though? There's no better ballpark to take in a baseball game than Fenway, you know?
That's
I
true.
Mean, my personal opinion, you know what I mean?
We're talking about the best stadium in the country belongs to the greatest baseball team of all time, the Houston Astros.
I still get shit from fucking, like, my mother went to high, grew up up there. Like, I used to spend my summers and my winter break up there as a kid, you know, with family. And, like, to this day, even though it's been a long time since I've been to Fenway, like, some of my family members that live there have never been there, and I get shit because I used to go up my Uncle Thomas as a kid a couple games every summer.
Okay, Jason. Hey, before we get off the baseball wall, I still got a few people on here. I'll let you go. Peace out. I want to ask everybody that's still on here, what is your guys' thought about Luke Como going all insane and postal and threatening to kill his wife and then putting up all those YouTube videos today?
You guys have fun with that.
Good night. Like, dude, how great is that, dude? He, like, snapped, and $10 says that we're going to find out later he was on some kind of fucking drugs.
Maybe the juice he was on fucking gets to his brain.
Yeah.
My wife. Ah.
I love because he's on the run right now, and the cops are trying to find him, and he keeps posting YouTube videos.
What the fuck is, wow.
Yeah. And he says, and here he says that he won't deal with the police department because he says it's unlawful for him to force his kids to be vaccinated or eat modified processed foods. So that's what he's bitching about.
Here we go.
Yeah, he's going crazy.
Is he, though? Is he going crazy, man, or does he really just want his kids to be able to eat some organic food?
Well, dude, look, if the fucking wife goes, I'm taking the kids to get McNuggets. And you go, I'd like to feed them a kale salad out of the garden wheat group. And she goes, oh, fuck you, Luke. You're a loser. Never made it to the UFC very far. What are you going to do, beat me up? And he just goes, oh, fucking Alexander fucking Overy or Elaminko on him and beats the shit out of her. We've seen it happen. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he just is one of those crazy PETA people who just go too far.
Damn. The sky is blue. What do you mean the sky is blue? Ah, punches you in the face.
Dude, nothing beats. I would have paid anything to see Alexander, because, you know, he's a big motherfucker, let's be honest, and his girlfriend's like 5'8", you know, 125 pounds. I would have loved to have seen him beat her up and throw her out the window. I know it sounds fucked up to say, but could you imagine, like, her going, what the fuck are you going to do, motherfucker, you big dumb Russian bear? Smacks him, and he just goes, I smash you! Boom! They're like, what the fuck? How does she think she's going to fight a guy that fucking big?
Dude, your imagination is running wild. Did you swap out your magic brownies for, like, mushrooms or something?
No, dude, I'm on a fucking hash bender, dude, and it's catching up.
Oh, man. I just think that's so funny.
Hey, what do people out there think about Kenny Florian?
He was always a number 5 in his own weight class. The best he ever was. And as a fucking announcer and commentator, he's a number 7.
What the hell happened to him? What, like he don't want to fight anymore?
Well, I think what happened is that he realized, you know, I mean, he tried for the – he originally started like 185, then he dropped down to 170, then he had a title shot at 155. He wasn't successful, so he dropped to 145, and he wasn't successful. And he really didn't have any other options, and he was out of title runs, and so he just retired.
Did he have a back end?
He might have. I don't know. I don't think so. I just know he likes to bleed a lot.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, you could be a Heath Herring, somebody who's an exciting fighter. You guys know I say that all the time, man. You could be him, but at what point do you say enough's enough? And at what point do you, you know, not even go that route?
Yeah, but Heath Herring is a badass.
Whatever happened to Heath Herring?
He's playing poker and fucking a supermodel.
Hey.
That'll work.
Hey, a supermodel, banging a supermodel and fucking playing poker, and you don't have to be in the cage fucking taking shots. Hey.
And I think he owns a MMA promotion in Brazil. Right, Skip?
Really?
Skippy. Did we lose him?
Hello?
What's Skippy?
What just happened?
I don't know.
Can you hear me still?
Yeah, we can hear you. What are you doing, buddy?
All right.
Be down. We're all still here. We just lost Skippy, I think. Jeff, are you there?
That was funny.
Yeah, I'm here.
I don't know what's going on. Oh.
I'm here, dude. I don't know what happened, but I'm here.
What organization does Keith Herring own?
Oh, he owns Combate Extremo.
Really?
Down in. Oh shit! My shit's muted. Sorry. He owns Combate Extremo, and I don't know what the fuck just happened, but like. The board was just like started dropping callers, so I don't know. Either way, let's make that a sign, fuckers, because you know me, I gotta work at a grocery shop in the morning, so I got a hard life. Hey guys, not only that, I want all you guys to know, dude. Tomorrow morning, Super Combat. Here in about 15 minutes, we got Combat 8 going down. Don't forget this weekend, if you guys, and I'm telling you right now, Kane, Beatdown, you want to see the craziest fucking MMA event in the world, you got two chances. Gretchen, I'll get you guys links as soon as we get them. Dude, Gretchen is the fucking shit. It's a crazy Asian MMA league. These guys, they don't even fucking let their corners come in. They don't let the ring girls come in, the announcer. They these fights, as soon as a guy literally loses, they raise his hand and open the door, and another guy steps in. Great.
What time is kicking off?
If you want,
get him in there.
If you want to get water, in between rounds, they'll throw it over the cage top to you. Because the motherfuckers ain't coming in the cage when the fight's going on. Not even in between rounds. At least not at the last one we watched.
Yeah, no, the cornermen jump up over the top and do all the corner work hanging over the top. Dude, it's great.
And, like, they're doing intros. If your fight's in the third round or second round, they're starting the intros, like, with halfway through the round. Like, the next guy's intro music hits while you're fighting.
Yep. It's great. You guys are going to fucking love this shit. It's going to be about, probably what, about 2 o'clock our time, Lebaki?
Yeah, I think so. Priorities on passing out.
Well, everybody, dude, I got to thank everybody for coming on. You guys know how we do this show every week, man. Anybody, always welcome. Thank all the fans, the listeners. Thank you all my sponsors. You guys... Like I always end the show, fucking Eagle.
Osprey.
Yo, it was good being on here, man. I'm out of here.